Today is Saturday, the 3rd of February, 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 118th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero joining us into today's session. And we would continue the session starting off with an in-session mindfulness practice guided by Venerable Bhante. Then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today. After that, we will have the question and answer session where we present reports received and verbal questions to Bhante, and then we will wrap up the program. So, to start off things, I would like to also welcome Venerable Bhante on behalf of all of us, and also I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and Facebook live stream. Now, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. We'll start today's program with a mindful walking session. For this, you need to find some space, probably like 10-15 steps, that type of a space, where you can walk comfortably. Once you have selected that space, you can start walking. Walk in a comfortable manner. Direct your eyes towards the floor in front of you, maybe like 7-8 feet ahead. You can direct your eyes and walk in a comfortable manner. While walking, we try to be present with the walking. We try to notice what we feel when we are present with the walking. You don't do much. Instead, you walk in a comfortable manner and trying to be attentive, trying to be present with the walking. Just try to be present and notice what you feel when you pay attention to the walking. When you try this, you might start to feel the ground touching your feet. Maybe the texture, temperature of the ground you may feel. Then which parts of your feet is touching the ground you may feel. Whether it's the heel, whether it's the toes that are touching. So these details you might start to notice. Time to time your attention might go to surrounding sounds, various thoughts, memories, surrounding sights. These things grab your attention. It is natural, and after a while you realize that you have gotten lost. With that awareness, you can again try to be present with the walking process. Try to notice that your body is walking. Try to feel the walking sensations. This way we walk in a comfortable manner, trying to bring our attention to the present moment, trying to be present with the walking process. Time to time, naturally your mind goes to other things like thoughts, but you can become aware and bring your attention back to the walking. This way, let's try to do a mindful walking session for a few minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can return back to your seats. That's few minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea about the practice. So you can practice on your own. Every day, try to say, take some time, probably like 20, 30 minutes at least, do a mindful walking session and do a mindful sitting session. That way you can continue with your mindfulness practice. And when you come with your feedback, we can discuss further. With that, Namantha, you can take over.
Much, Mr. Banthi, for that wonderful in-session practice and the guidance. Now, I would like to invite Banthi again on behalf of all of us to commence with the talk on schedule for today's session. Over to Banthi again.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. So we have a new topic today. We'll take some time to discuss about today's topic. Now, in order to discuss today's topic, we have to see how we are functioning most of the time. When we deal with the world, when we deal with other people, usually we have a self-view. We identify with ourselves. With that identification, we deal with others. With that self-identification, we deal with the world. You are the center. That's the very center of the entire universe. And with that center, you try to work. You try to deal with others. The whole thing rotates around you. That's the very idea of that self-view, self-identification. And when you function like that, when you try to deal with others like that, when you try to, you know, conquer things in the world with this self-identification, it's natural that you start to feel resistance. Resistance from the outside as well as the resistance within. The self-identification doesn't get its way. Usually other people don't allow you to get your way. The things happen in the world, they don't allow you to get your way. So in a way, always there'll be friction. There's conflict against the others, against the world. This way we try to function. This way we try to deal with the world. This identification of self is the main thing that we have when we deal, when we function. Now, some of you already know René Descartes, his experiment was about this self-identification. He thought that there are some false beliefs he has within. He thought an experiment to let go of these false beliefs. He tried to let go of all his beliefs, views, and try to start from the zero. And after a few months, few weeks, few days doing this trial, he thought that maybe the very first valid thing or the very first valid belief that he can take is, I think, therefore I am. He thought that it's a valid one because when I be, I can see the thoughts emerging. I can see I get thoughts about the other people. I get thoughts about the things happening in the world. So he thought that this is truth. He thought that I think, therefore I am, is a valid thing, is a valid identification. When he did that statement, when he took it as true, you can see it's a fatal mistake. Why is it a fatal mistake? Because he has identified with his own thoughts, his own emotions, his own memories. That identification he has done. So with that, the rest, all the other things will tag along They too will be valid. They too will be true. So when we meditate, when we practice mindfulness, in a way, we try to let go of this identifying with thoughts and emotions. Instead of making them yours, you try to observe them as a third person. You try to observe them as a bystander without identifying with the thoughts, without identifying with the emotions. You just try to observe them. That is the very idea of meditation. When we meditate, we try to develop the ability to observe without identifying with these thoughts. We try to develop the ability to observe without identifying with these emotions. And that's what we are doing. Initially, it's really hard. Initially, it's natural that it is very difficult. You try to walk mindfully. You try to sit mindfully. You try to continue with the formal meditation. You walk in a comfortable manner and try to be the observer of this walking process. You sit in a comfortable manner and try to be the observer of this sitting process. You can feel the bodily sensations, the walking sensations. You can feel the breathing, the sitting sensations. So you try to continue with this observation. As a third person, you try to observe, be the observer of this walking process. You try to observe, be the observer of this sitting process. That is the practice you try to do. But when you try this, especially as a beginner, naturally your mind forgets the third person observation and go and identify with your thoughts. Go and identify with your emotions. This happens time after time. Again and again, this identification happens as a power of habit. It is happening. Without you even knowing, the mind goes and identifies with these thoughts, emotions. The mind takes them as you, yours, it takes. That way, again and again, this process happens. But the beginner, the meditator, they are advised to not to get discouraged with this process. Instead, they realize, I have again identified with my thoughts. I have again identified with my emotions. With that very awareness, again, you return back to the third person observation. You try to take few steps mindfully. You try to take few breaths mindfully. Again, without you even knowing, the mind goes and identifies with the thoughts, with the memories, with the incidents, with the future planning. This process happens. But the training is to repetitively bring your attention back to the observation of the process. Again and again, train yourself to be the observer of this process without getting carried away. That practice we are doing, that training we are doing. When we do it, we realize it's like this identification is the basis of this creation. The self-identity. You are the center of the universe. Again and again, this identification is there. When something happens, it's something that has happened against me. When a person does something, he has done it against me. That identification is there. If somebody blame you, then you go and, you know, start creating thoughts, memories, emotions against that person. This person has blamed me. He's an enemy of mine. That way, without you even knowing, you identify with these thoughts, you identify with these emotions. This process is repetitively happening. This is more like the basis for this creation. This is more like the foundation of this creation. Again and again, you are the center of the universe. Again and again, this is the center where everything else revolves around. This identification is there. This process is there. That's why in that creation story, when that the apple, when it was eaten, Adam, he said that it wasn't me, it was this woman. Then the woman said, it wasn't me, it was this snake. That way, we try to avoid blame towards us and direct that blame, divert that blame towards somebody else or towards something else. So this is the basis, this is the center of creation. That way we try to function. That way we try to deal with the world. So the meditator, one of the many challenges the meditator faces is that how to be the observer without identifying with myself. How to be the observer without identifying with thoughts, memories. That very ability initially very weak. You don't have the strength to continue that ability, that observation. But repetitive practice will allow you to observe as the third person without getting carried away, without identifying with these things. That ability gradually you can develop. With repetitive practice, you can develop. It takes some time, of course. It takes some time, but that practice, it's worth doing it little by little, gradually. Daily, you invest some time as a walking session. Daily, you invest some time as a sitting session. That way, every day, if you spend some time, like 20, 30 minutes of mindful walking, 20, 30 minutes of mindful sitting, the daily practice is a must. And the rest of the time, you can continue as usual, function as usual, work, do your family matters, that's fine. But daily, you have to invest some time in formal meditation. Try to do a walking session daily. Try to do a sitting session daily. With that repetitive practice, in a way, gradually you develop the ability to be the third person observer without getting carried away, without getting dragged into this identification. You can just be the observer of this walking. You can just be the observer of this sitting. You develop that ability gradually. When you develop that ability, little by little, you can continue the very practice into your day-to-day life as well. While brushing your teeth, every day you spend like 5-8 minutes trying to brush your teeth. Just during that time, try to make a determination to brush mindfully. Not just a day, not just 2 days. Instead, try to continue with it daily. Try to remind yourself to brush mindfully. Every time you take the brush to your hand, just remind yourself. Just make a reminder about being mindful of this process. That way, gradually you can extend this very practice into your day-to-day life as well. Initially, you find it very difficult. It's difficult to maintain your attention. Naturally, you get carried away with so many mind objects. That observation is natural. That complaint is natural. But again and again, with repetitive practice, when you do your mindful walking, sitting, and when you continue for some time, gradually you realize now my mind is able to observe this process more and more. You realize naturally your mind comes to the present moment. Naturally, you start observing the things that you do. Let it be brushing your teeth, let it be having your meals. Naturally, you start to become more and more present with the process. You start to become more and more efficient with the practice. So that's the very idea. And with that repetitive practice, you can little by little let go of this self-identification. That's where we can really come into this Lao Tzu quote. It's a very nice quote he's giving about the practice. He's showing us the proper way of the practice. He says that stop living and you will arrive. Stop searching and you will see. Stop running away and you will be found. That very idea, sometimes it's difficult to grasp. We feel like there are things that we have to go after and achieve them. There are things that we have to act. There are certain occasions that we have to do these things. That idea is natural. But the meditator, when they let go of this self-identification a little, then they start to realize the way of nature. The way of nature is the best. Whatever happens, happens for a reason. There is no point fighting it. No, there is no point wasting your energy trying to resist it. Most of our lives, when you think about the energy, we waste much of our energy trying to fight nature. And it's a fight that you are going to lose. That's for sure, because you can't really fight the nature. You can't really go against the nature. So in a way, if we stop resisting the things that we have no control of, if we stop resisting the things that happen, then you preserve much of your energy. Now, when you deal with your day-to-day things, when you deal with people, when you handle your daily matters, whenever you feel friction within, whenever you feel anxious, there should be something that you struggle to accept. That very observation you can see even in your day-to-day life. Whenever you feel anxious, whenever you feel this friction within, you are struggling with something. You are fighting with something. May let it be a word from somebody else. Let it be some incident that happens. Basically, you have no control over these things, but still the mind keeps fighting it. The mind keeps resisting it. This process is there. Whenever you feel anxious, you can really see there is some resistance in mind. I am resisting something. I am fighting something. So this process is within us. That's why initially it's really difficult to accept the things that happens. Initially it's really difficult to go with the flow. But the meditator, with time, they start to develop this ability. They have to let go, at least a little bit, they have to let go of this identification of self. Identification with the thoughts, identification with the emotions. When you don't identify with these things, when you don't identify with your emotions, when you don't identify with your thoughts, then it becomes much easier for you to go with the flow. Be like water, they say. Water, think about water. The nature of it is flowing downhill. That is the nature of water. So in a way, you too can have certain goals. You too can achieve certain things. But you have to be wise. You have to conserve your energy while doing this. If you start fighting every resistance that you get, if you start fighting every obstacle that you face, then it might not be helpful for your end goal. It might not be helpful for you to achieve the end goal. Instead, you are wasting energy trying to fight everything along the path. But instead, the water flows downhill. That is the nature of water. Whenever there is some resistance, whenever there is some obstacle, the water works around it. It's not fighting initially. Little by little, it works around this obstacle. It works around this resistance. Again, after a while, when you look, the water is flowing of its initial direction. It is flowing downhill. It is going through the usual way. Right? That fighting part, that wasting energy part is not there. That very ability is important. If you develop that ability, then you realize whatever happens, you can take it as the nature, you can take it as the practice, and somehow work your way around this obstacle. Somehow try to find a way out of this situation. That ability you have, that ability you can develop. Only thing you need is to have some patience. Whenever something happens, whenever you face resistance, naturally you want to resolve this thing right away. On the spot, you want to resolve this. Without finding a solution, without resolving this, you can't even sleep sometimes. You have to resolve it today. You have to find a solution today. Without that solution, without resolving, you can't even sleep. That's how most of us function. Trying to solve this quickly, trying to resolve this quickly, we might even make a bigger mess out of the situation. So in a way, in order to develop this ability, the patience is very much important. Whenever things come, whenever problems, issues arise, you can simply acknowledge this problem. Don't try to suppress, don't try to ignore. Instead, you know that this is there. You become aware that this is there. With that awareness, somehow you continue, and in no time, you'll see that the issue or the problem, it has vanished. Most of the problems, you don't need to solve them. Instead, give them some time and they will solve themselves. That's the very idea. If you start solving every little problem, then it's not good. It's like a skillful manager. You have to deal with things. You can't micromanage everything. Instead, you delegate, you give it authority. Whenever necessary, you interfere. But most of the time, even without your presence, the things work. The process works. That very ability is important. Even for a good manager, they need to have this ability. They are not micromanaging. Instead, they have delegated. They are overlooking. Whenever needed, they interfere. Within some time, they can see the system works perfect. The process works perfect. Even without their presence, the things work. The things function. The system works. That very ability is important. Even in our lives, we have to have this skill. We are skillful dealing with these worldly matters. We have patience. We have mindfulness. That very ability will allow you to preserve most of your energy. Otherwise, we just waste energy fighting these useless things. That's what most people do. They fight these things, but there is no result at the end of the day. It's not your priority. It's not the proper thing that you have to pay attention. But still you do, why this has come across your path. So you try to somehow solve it. You try to somehow fight with it. But instead, just let it be and go your way. Just go work around it and start moving. That very ability is important. With that very ability, we are trying to develop this. With that very ability, we are trying to appreciate the process. Go with the flow. Although initially it's difficult, with repetitive practice, you can develop this. You can have this potential. You can have this energy. And you become much more energy efficient. Whenever things happen, you don't start fighting them. Instead, you accept, you acknowledge, and somehow start moving again. Again, something happens. You acknowledge, you accept, somehow start moving. That very process is important. It should start within. That is the very idea. Now, when you sit in meditation, when you walk in meditation, you realize there are so many things happening. Sounds come, thoughts appear, various things come and go. Majority of them are out of your control. The meditator might experience. Initially, if you are a newbie, if you are inexperienced, then you start to blame yourself for the things that are happening. You blame yourself for the thoughts. You blame yourself for the surrounding sounds. You blame yourself for the bodily aches, pains, irritations. This blaming game is there. Again and again, you take responsibility for the things that happen. But when it comes to the things that happen, you can't really take responsibility. Instead, they happen, you somehow continue with your meditation. Thoughts come into your mind. Without even knowing, you forget the walking, you forget the sitting, and your mind gets lost in those thought processes. Maybe for a few seconds, maybe even for a few minutes, your mind gets lost in these thought processes. The beginner, they usually blame themselves for getting lost. But when you mature in your meditation, you realize this intermediate phase, I can't really have any control over. With out of your control, it is happening. You have no control over it. You were observing the breath. Without you even knowing, your mind get carried away and goes with these thoughts. Only after a few minutes, you realize. Only after a few seconds, you realize that you have gotten lost. When that realization comes, when that awareness comes, the next step is the blaming game. You start worrying about this process. But can you assume any responsibility about this process? No, it was out of your control. You were observing the breath. Without you even knowing, your mind went away for some time. Only after a few seconds, few minutes, you became aware. So when you became aware, you start blaming. You start this blaming frustration game. But actually, you have to realize, now only I know, earlier I didn't have any authority over this. I shouldn't be wasting this precious moment with blaming. Instead, when I have control over, I should again be mindful, continue with the meditation. Again, your mind forgets the object, forgets the mindfulness, and get lost, get carried away in some process. Again, after when you realize only, you can act. So this way, in a way, we develop the ability not to take responsibility for the things that happen. You can't really take responsibility for the things that happen. The meditator, they are again and again training themselves to let go of the responsibility for the things that happen, not to fight the things that happen. With that repetitive training, even in your day-to-day life, you become much better accepting the things that happened and not to waste your energy over fighting them. That very ability is important. That very skill is important. With that skill, you can really start going with the flow. When I say go with the flow, most people, they think that then we have to refrain from doing anything. That's not true. Instead, you can do things. You can spend energy. Your effort matters. But you are doing things. You spend energy only towards the things that are worthwhile. You don't start fighting nature. You don't start fighting things that are out of your control. Instead, you focus what matters. Instead, you focus what's under your control. That very focus is important. That very attention is important. You are not wasting energy fighting everything. Instead, you know what you can do. You know what you have under your control. That very thing you can do. That very place you can spend energy. That way you have to gradually continue develop this ability. And you become much better dealing with these things. You become energy efficient. That's the very idea of this quote, Lao Tzu quote. It's a very nice one. You don't have to start, go searching, seeking. Instead, stop and you shall arrive. That's the very idea that most of the things you don't have to search. You don't have to search. You don't have to look for them. Instead, they will come to you when you stop for a while. They will come to you when you breathe for a while. That's why there's this another idea, same meaning. They say that you don't have to go looking for God. The God is not lost. You are the person who is lost. So stop, stay, and the God will find you. Right? So that's also somewhat similar to the same idea. You don't have to go looking for the God. The God is not lost. You are the person who is lost. So stay in the same place. Stop moving and the God will find you. That way we can really see that most of the things that are happening, they are perfectly happening. You don't have to do anything about it. The other people, they do their own thing. You try to, teach them. You try to control them. But most of the time you waste your energy. They will not listen to you. And at the end of the day, they'll be angry, frustrated towards you because you have tried to, show them the pathway. You have tried to show them the proper way. That's a waste of energy. Instead, you do your thing. In a way, you are aware that these people are doing these things. In a way, you are aware that they are moving in the wrong direction. But you wait for your proper moment. You don't start advising them right away. Instead, if you pick your moment, they might accept your advice. If you try to advise them, teach them all the time, then of course they might reject it. Now, few weeks ago, we gave this home take-home activity for some Satipasala kids. The activity was to find a friend or somebody else who doesn't know mindfulness, and you have to teach them mindfulness, you have to get them to practice mindfulness, and you have to come with their feedback experience. That was the take-home activity that was given. So one child, he was saying that I tried to teach some of my friends, but they didn't want to accept the meditation. They didn't like the idea of meditation. I was a failure trying to teach them. So that was his experience. But in a way, if you are skillful, when you make mistakes only, you learn these things. If you are skillful, you can really teach them without teaching. It's not like, you know, you go and start a lecture. Instead, you have to be skillful. Maybe without even mentioning the word mindfulness, you can get them to be mindful. That ability you have to be skillful delivering the message. You have to be skillful finding a way. You have to wait for the proper moment and give them the idea. That way, if you deal with other people without them even knowing, they would be meditating. Without them even knowing, they would be practicing mindfulness. So that way, you have to be skillful dealing with things. You have to be skillful dealing with others. You can't really force anything in this world. Instead, you have to pick your moments. When you pick your moments, when you know when to act, then most of the things you can really do successfully. You will conserve most of your energy functioning. That very idea is important. That way only we can really deal with others. That way only we can really deal with these worldly matters. So today's topic, you really have to meditate and experience for yourself. No matter what we talk about this process, when you go to your day-to-day life, as a power of habit, you will identify with your thoughts. You will identify with your emotions. When somebody comes and tell you something, blame you, suddenly there's this grip in your mind. Without you even knowing, your mind goes and identifies with these thoughts, memories. So with repetitive practice only, you can really solve this. With repetitive practice only, you can create at least some distance from this identification. So it's important that we meditate. It's important that we meditate properly. That second point is very important. It doesn't matter that you are walking or sitting. We don't know whether you are meditating. So you have to make sure that you meditate properly. For that, you have to share your experience, have a discussion like this. That way, you have to support your practice. With that support, with repetitive meditation, you can really see how you are developing this ability in your mind. So try and experience for yourself. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Vinash Bhante, for that great explanation, and much thanks to Bhante. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence that session. I would share the screen for the guide to the beginners.
Namanda, Avasarai Bhante. So, as Bhante said, practice is the key to having mindfulness. So, practicing sitting and walking meditation is the start of all of it. And as we can see on the slide, there are two videos that could help you give it a start, or if you want to share it with someone. So these two will give you an idea of how to start mindful walking or mindful sitting. Once you have had time to watch them, then set aside time to practice at a regular time as much as you can, and make it quite regular, making it up to 2 hours of each day. And once you have had some experience with meditation, walking and sitting, you can then write it to us, send us a report, and we will present it to Bhante and get his feedback on your progress on how you have succeeded. So you can send us the reports to us via the Google form. The link is provided here and in the chat, and also via email. The email is beginnersnv@gmail.com. That too is on the chat. And just continue to send us reports and we will present it for guidance. If you'd like to see any of the sessions or listen to any of the previous sessions, the link again will be on the chat and it is on this slide. That will be where you can find all the previous recordings of the sessions. I will now move on to, we've only got one report received today, and I will move on to that now. Sitting meditation. Sleepy even before sitting, but determined to sit at the regular time as wanted to send the report. Did a body scan and noted a pain in the hip and then moved to the shoulder. Started watching the breath from then and moved on to a calm state. Thoughts and breath both disappeared and was seated for 30 minutes. Walking meditation. Started walking on a wooden floor, noted noises outside the house and then inside the house. A slight annoyance about the noise, but soon both the annoyance and the noise seemed to have disappeared. Noted body weight shifting from side to side with each step. Could not see when the back foot was lifted, so slowed down the steps. Noted the turn was always to the same side. Daily mindfulness. Watching mind more often, catching thoughts at the beginning and seeing some of them pass. However, when I was trying to be mindful while driving, I was amazed at how many different movements were needed to drive. I was constantly watching the oncoming traffic while quickly scanning the mirrors. Legs were moving between the pedals. The hand was moving from holding wheel to indicators or gears. Ear listening to some noise from the radio. I could not pinpoint the time when the thought arose to make these movements as they were very fast, unlike other activities. I will be watching this activity more. It was a scary thought to note that all these movements are made without any awareness and the mind usually wanders off as well. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, a few things that are worth highlighting. The very first one is now, even before the sitting, you feel sleepy. That is natural, especially if you are working, if you are managing a family, if you are managing a business, then of course, most of you are sleep deprived. You don't get enough sleep in your life. At least try to keep count, try to keep accounts and see how many hours you sleep. Maybe like 5-6 hours, maybe like even lower number of hours you sleep daily. So it is natural that you feel sleepy, lack of energy, and your mind is all over the place. Why? You don't get enough sleep. Sleep is one way, maybe without even us knowing, we take care of our mental health. If you don't sleep for like 3-4 days, you'll go crazy. Right, so without even knowing, you take care of your mental health when you sleep. And most of you are sleep deprived. You don't get enough sleep in your daily schedule. And every day, you are adding few hours to that account, that amount. So you are running maybe like few nights sleep lacking, few nights sleep accumulated, you are running, functioning like that, right? So you have to make sure that you are at least being conscious about the number of hours you sleep. And with that consciousness, you can of course find alternative ways. What I find is that, let's say a few hours of sleep, the relaxation that it will bring, you can get at least like do 20-30 minutes of a sitting session. You can get the same relaxation. And afterwards, you'll be much more energetic. If you have a nap for like 1 or 2 hours, then afterwards, you won't have much energy to function unless you drink a cup of coffee or something. So if you meditate instead, although it's hard to sit in meditation when you are tired, although your mind prefers sleeping or having a nap, if you behave yourself, if you discipline yourself to sit in meditation, you realize within 20-30 minutes, you are much more energetic. You feel fresh. That relaxation is there in sitting meditation. It's a rapid relaxation, both walking and sitting, the formal meditation. It's a rapid relaxation process, much more efficient than the unconscious relaxation of sleep. You have to really try these things and see when you are tired. Somehow discipline yourself to sit in meditation or walk in meditation. Try to continue for like 20-30 minutes and see how it is benefiting, how it is energizing you. You can really compare it with a nap, which is more efficient. You can really experience for yourself. Even before you fall asleep, let's say full day's work, you are really tired. You don't have any energy. But if you directly go and sleep, your mind is not ready for the relaxation. You don't get proper sleep. Instead, if you can discipline yourself to walk for some time, not for long, maybe at least like 10-15 minutes of mindful walking, then sit for some time, 10-15 minutes of mindful sitting. After that 30 minutes, if you can go to sleep, then of course you'll be much better off. Your mind is somewhat relaxed and it is ready for the good night's sleep. So that way you have to be aware how sleep deprived you are. You have to be aware that you have to somehow support your relaxation. Meditation, formal meditation, is a much more effective way. And even in your same experience, when you get up from meditation, you might experience much more energy. You might experience much more relaxed than having a nap. So that's the very first idea I want to mention. Then the second thing is about the noises. Somebody is making noises, and then in your mind, there is some annoyance towards the noises. That observation you have made, right? So usually our usual reaction is that we have to go and get rid of the noises. Maybe you go and blame a family member and come back and sit again. That's what you do most of the time. Then try to, you know, stop somebody making noises and come and sit in meditation again. That's our usual behavior. But when you become more skilled in meditation, you realize this too has some lesson in it. When these noises come, you can really see the annoyance within you. Maybe you are storytelling, thinking about the person who is making these noises and blaming him for the process, blaming him for doing it at the moment, cursing him for making so much noise. That's your mind at work. So you can really get an opportunity to see how it functions in these occasions, right? When you continue with that practice, in no time you realize the noises and the annoyance, both they have disappeared, right? That observation is there in your report as well. So try to see every time you feel these things, every time when a mosquito bites, every time when you hear these noises, every time a thought comes, every time when there's pain, irritation in your body, try to see how much of resistance that's there. How your mind's reaction to this foreign object, let's say foreign object, they are not really foreign objects, but anyway, let's say foreign for now. How much of a resistance, annoyance is there in your mind? Disliking is there in your mind because of this foreign object. That very observation is very much valuable. That very observation will support you, allow you to get rid of both the noise and the annoyance. When there is no annoyance, there is no noise. You are hearing something, but your attention doesn't really go to that object because there is no resistance. There is no disliking, right? So that very observation you can do. The noise is there. Since there is no annoyance, there is no noise. Right? So many sights are there. So many sounds are there in this world. There is no liking or disliking. When there is no liking or disliking, those are not relevant to us. It's like they are not there. That very observation is valid for a meditator. Whatever you have liking or disliking, that's where you have to meditate. Most of the objects, you have no liking or disliking. So there is nothing to meditate over there. Already you are enlightened to those objects. There's a small portion of objects where there is liking or disliking, right? So that's where the meditation comes in. The rest of the meditation is already done. So when there is no annoyance, there is no noise. Somebody might come and say, hey, although there is no annoyance, there is a noise. I observed, Bhante. True, you can observe the noise, but since there is no annoyance, it's not relevant to you. That's what happens to the arahants or enlightened people. They live in this world, but the things, the objects, they are not relevant. So when those objects are not relevant, what's the issue? Whatever comes, goes. This too shall pass. That's how they function. That's how the mind works. Their mind works. Right? So that very experience we too can have, whenever there is no liking or disliking, that object is, it's not relevant to us. Only with the liking and disliking, it comes. Let's say, whatever the emotions, feelings you have, let's take lust, for example. If you are lustful towards something or some person, then of course you have some resistance dealing with that person. You can't, you know, look in the eye, you can't work with them, you can't function with them because there's lust. If there's no lust, then it doesn't matter. You can work with them, you can function with them, you can talk with them, no issue. Right? So this is the truth. Whenever there is liking or disliking, that's where all these things are born. When there is no liking or disliking, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant to us. Right? So that very process you can experience within you when you meditate. Then the third one is driving. Not only driving, various things, so many other things. We have so complicated processes. Our body works perfectly without attention, without knowing. Habitually it works. Especially things like driving, it is scary how the mind works if you really pay attention. Something can go wrong at any moment without you even knowing. Most of them are automated. Most of them happen without consciousness. But the driving happens. Sometimes you are listening to the music as well. Sometimes talking to a passenger as well. The driving happens. Right? So this is how we function. Most of the time we are sleepwalking. Right? You're lost in your mind, thinking, talking, listening to music. Still, you drive. So for a meditator, it becomes more like a hobby to observe this process. You don't have to make it intentional. If you try to make it intentional, then you won't be able to drive. That's the other problem. Try to do every action intentionally, you won't be able to drive. Right? That's also there. That's also a problem. So what we do is we allow the process to happen. We allow the body to take care of it. we allow this habitual behavior to continue while being aware. That's what you have to do. Let's say some other things like touch typing, right? Whenever the word is pronounced in your mind, the fingers move. You don't have to think. You don't have to think, go looking for the letters. Instead, the fingers move. And without you even looking, the typing happens. Right? So that's how we are programmed. What we suggest is don't try to interfere with the process. Instead, be the observer. Notice how these complex things are happening without you even knowing. Notice the fingertips when you do certain things. This opposable thumb, right? It's a gift from evolution, right? Opposable thumb. Yeah, you put on buttons, work with those scissors and various tools. Without you even knowing, you use this opposable thumb. For the Satipatthana kids, we give this activity. Just don't use your thumb, and with the other fingers, you have to somehow function. Unbutton, button, push a button, various activities we do. And they struggle. They say, I can't do it, Bante, with this. Without the thumb, I can't do. Sometimes they take the other hand, do it with the thumb and say, yes, I have done it. Right? That's how we function. We don't know. So it's a good habit to bring your attention to these fingertips, especially the thumbs, opposable thumbs. That's how we function. That's how we work. Whatever those tools, devices you work, you operate, you use the thumb to operate, right? Then your palm, you grab things, door handles, window handles, remotes, various devices, cups, plates, you grab with your palm. Then the feet, you climb up and down, walk on the cement floor, walk on the grass, various things you do. So it's good. It's a good habit to bring your attention to these points, like fingertips, the palms, then the feet. You simply bring your attention and notice how these things are happening, right? So that way, we just continue the observation without interfering with this process. Especially things like driving, if you try to interfere, it's a hell of a job to drive then. So you have to allow the process to happen while being the observer, noticing how complicated, how complex these processes and they are happening without the awareness, right? So continue with this experiment. It's called noble experiment. There's no real timeline. Instead, every day, every opportunity, every activity, it's a chance for your practice. That way, continue with the noble experiment.
Thank you, Bhante. That was really good feedback for the report. And you can all try these before the next session. That is all the reports we have for today. So it's now time to open it out to questions. If anyone has any questions about the session, the reports, or your personal experience, please raise your Zoom hand and we'll let you unmute and ask your question. It doesn't look like anyone has questions today, Bhante. Looks like it's fairly clear today and no one has any questions. So maybe now, Namanta, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Sonali, and much best to you, and also much best to Bhante for excellent guidance in the question and answer session as well. So with that, our program for today comes to an end, and I would like to wish these merits to be associated with Venerable Bhante, and wish that his own journey in mindfulness flourishes into the future, and that he will also be able to share with us some of his insights through his journey in future programs and in future sessions. Furthermore, I would like to associate these merits with the Chief Bhante, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvana Forest Monastery, Most Honorable Bhante Udayiragam Dhammajiva Mahatheru, and wish that he has good health and long life, and that his own mindfulness objectives will be achieved, and that he also will be able to contribute to others in the same way he has been doing. I will also like to mention and thank the wonderful team of organizers behind this program who work hard behind the scenes to maintain the program as it is. I would like to thank all of you and share all these merits and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on you where your mindfulness practice and advances in mindfulness will happen in future and that you will also be able to join our program continuously and contribute to the program into the future. I would also like to thank all of you who have joined through Zoom and through the Facebook live stream. It has been a great audience to have you in these sessions all the time, and I wish that these merits will have a positive impact and that you are also able to absorb the concepts, the teachings, the learnings, and apply them in real life and be able to see for yourself the benefits of being mindful in day-to-day life and also during your practice sessions. If there's anyone new, there was the introduction to beginners. You can follow up with those links in the chat section and ask any questions from Bhante during question and answer session. So I would like to conclude the session in the session now. I would like to also wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. We will have the program same time next week, and see you then. Thank you.